Blog Talk Radio.
Besides, relationships are for people that are just waiting for something better to come along.
Spoken like a cynic.
I'm not a cynic, I'm a realist.
Who are a realist masquerading as a cynic who is secretly an optimist.
Because of the way it was delivered.
How do you think a woman should put that to a man? How do you think that a woman should say to a man, this doesn't work for me? Or, you know, I'm not getting what I need from you.
I'm just so excited because tonight is the premiere of the Every Woman Talk Show. I am Natay, one of your co-hosts, and I am joined by a fantastic panel of women this evening. Uli, Signature, and Jackie, we're all sisters with different opinions. So for the next hour, we're going to talk about... Hello and welcome back to the Every Woman Talk Show. It is May 6th and we are bringing you another hot show on another hot ladies night at the Every Woman Talk Show. I am Natay and I think I got my ladies on the line with me. Are Jackie and Sig out there?
Hello, hello, hello. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Good evening, Tuesday. Everyone.
Good evening. How y'all doing?
I'm surviving. Let me tell you, allergy season is a you-know-what. between my eyes itching, my nose, and I'm sneezing. And then you know how you get that irritating tickle in the back of your throat and you have to make that horrific noise that I hate? It's one of those kind of days.
No, you did not make the noise.
Let me tell you, when it gets so bad, and mind you, though, I'm actually on prescription Claritin. I'm taking Clarinex. So if I wasn't taking that, it would be even worse. So, I had to make the noise one day because, you know, it's just like, you know, with your throat, you can't stick your hand down your throat and scratch it like you scratch your leg. So when you got that itch in the back of your throat and you have to make that noise, I'm just like, oh, God, please excuse me. Oh, please excuse me. But my throat is just so bad. So that's kind of like home is my sanctuary. You know, I have to wash the windows. And I live across the street from a park. So that is like the worst, the ultimate worst. I love it. It's beautiful. But it takes its toll. It takes its toll.
So the pollen just kind of messed you up.
Just a little bit. And then when we had all the rain, it was great because it kind of just washed it away. You know, everything... little green, your car, and, you know, when you touch things and you have to wash your hands right away and, you know, anywho, that's kind of where I am right now.
Okay. So, Sig, what's going on down there in ATL?
It's hot. It's lovely. I get to be half naked. I'm happy.
Shut up.
Yeah, that's me.
That's me, Aiden.
Ding, ding. We need a dinger for that. Ding, ding, ding.
Y'all know, down there showing her goods.
You know, just
all
in case you weren't sure.
My wardrobe is pure sheer with taste. You get close enough, you'd be like, she really ain't wearing nothing.
Again, shut up. That's me hating, just in case you weren't sure. We're going to get there.
I ain't mad at you. But right now, I am super happy.
I am not. You know what? It's so funny. You know, Nico lives in Texas now. And he and his father, you know, send me little text messages. Oh, it's 96. And I'm like, dang, we're struggling to get to 56. What's the problem?
Don't rub it in. Don't rub it in, Nico. We know you're listening to us out there.
I'm just like, that's okay. I said, you know what? When it's 112, don't call me.
You know, I don't like that hot, humid. I like it spring, like it is now. If it stayed like this year round, oh man, it would be awesome.
I just don't want to see any more snow. I don't want to see any more snow.
No.
I could do without the torrential rain, but I'll take the torrential rain over the snow. So, I mean,
you know,
if I had to pick one.
I hate the humidity. I'm not gonna lie, I really do. And the humidity in the South is something fierce. But
it is.
Yeah.
I promise God, if I could get to being half naked, I wouldn't complain. What happened?
Oh,
I'm keeping my promise. He keeps his.
I know that's right. Because when I lived in Tennessee, you know, it's humid here in Jersey. We have our own brand of humidity. But when I lived, in Memphis, it was a humidity that was so oppressive. And then I used to go to Louisiana a lot as a kid. That is a whole different ballgame. Like, don't put on lotion and go outside. You don't need any moisture because it's going to create moisture on your skin. And you just feel so heavy and so weighed down. It's incredible. But then there are people who absolutely adore the heat and the humidity. And I'm just like, oh, no, it's too much.
No, you know, I miss L.A. because L.A. didn't have the humidity. Like,
you had the drier heat, right?
You had the drier heat. So, in other words, you know, I could wear my hair out straight. It wouldn't get all, you know, I don't want to say the word, but, you know, it wouldn't get all tight and, you know, sweat wasn't pouring all down my back. Yes. I'll just stay tight, but I miss that L.A. weather. Oh, man. But this is nice. I'll take this. This is what Jersey has going on right now, the spring. It's beautiful. So I'll take it, and no complaint.
We're getting there.
Yes. So, ladies, tonight, our topic is that we don't have a topic. Our topic is that it's open forum. We're talking about whatever you're talking about. So we pretty much want to know what's on your mind. So to all of our listeners out there, give us a call at 646-478-4507, and we're just simply talking about whatever comes up.
I've been using my job as a polling place, and they're actually listening to us. They're listening sometimes to us in our archives, which is cool. I told them I need you guys to listen live. So I got some things from them because, you know, the lunchroom is it's an amazing place for when people decide that, you know, I don't want to talk about work, you know, we're going to talk about whatever. And I've been kind of monitoring, you know, the things that are talked about in the lunchroom. And it runs the gambit. And today it was, of course, reality TV. Now, I know the three of us don't really watch reality TV. I know, Sig, you don't watch any kind of reality TV.
I do.
We got a show coming up on it, don't we? And so I've been trying to bear with some of that to try to get a feel for what's going on, but good Lord.
Let me tell you.
We got a show coming up on it, right?
We do.
Yeah.
I think we do. But, you know, today we were talking about that, and then I don't know if both of you ladies have heard about the situation with the boxer, Floyd Mayweather, and one of his baby mamas and how she aborted the twins and all this other stuff. So those are the things that people are really, really, really talking about. And ironically, I have 3 to 4 gentlemen who come in the cat den is what I call it, because, you know, it's mostly women. But they come in the cat den, and they're very comfortable with being in the cat den, and, you know, they have their solidarity. And one of the gentlemen said, you know, the whole thing with reality shows for him is it just paints such an ugly picture of women. And I totally understood where he was coming from. And he said, if you look at the differences, though, between some of the reality TV with majority black women and reality TV that is majority of other cultures, I'll put it that way, it's different. Now, you got your girl club and all that other stuff where these are young girls and they're just acting crazy because they're all like 21, 22 years old. But then you have Real Housewives of Atlanta, and everybody is 32 and 42 years old, and they're acting the way that they're acting. You pulling a hair, you dragging people across stages, you putting batons in people's faces, and, you know, you're constantly fighting and arguing and bickering, you know, and just what presentation does that put out there about us as black women?
That we pull hair, that we fight, that we argue, that we bicker. That we are very catty.
And, you know, you have the basketball wives. But you know what I find interesting? I did sit down and watch, I think it was, the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Their fighting is different. Their fighting is very different. You know, their money is different. Their money is very different. So it's a whole other level with them, you know, and with us I don't want to say it's degrading, but sometimes it feels that way. So
that's
kind of what I'm
saying. You know, I think it is degrading, and let's just be honest. A lot of us women, we are catty. Not all of us. But some of us are. Some of us like to create drama, to you know, hate on each other for no reason, to be stank, to be nasty. But just as we have those women that like to be stank and nasty and hate on each other and pull hair and cuss you out and act a fool, we also have women that believe in sisterhood. And we have women that believe in, you know, supporting one another and getting along and loving each other and, you know, and helping somebody get to the next level. So it's just what we put out there. Unfortunately, we put out the ratchetness, and that sells. I hate to say it,
because that's
sells.
Where the money is. You're absolutely right. That's where the money
no.
is.
No, you know what? You know, the sad part is, like with any other project that has mostly black or all black, we don't support when we do something good. We do not hop on the good bandwagon. And as long as we don't support our goodness, and it's us as blacks, that's supporting our ratchetness and our badness and the worst part of us and the stereotypes of us, then that's what they're going to keep putting out there, because that's what blacks are lying to. If you show people, you can show a group of people, and we did this because I do a documentary thing, and we watch the documentary and they flip it. We're supposed to be watching something about natural gas or something, but they flip it. And they're showing the two sides of a coin, where they show a black family and the couple is successful. They have a nice home. They take care of their kids. They're involved in their kids' lives. And then they show some reality crap. Everybody thought the family was fake, and that was staged.
And so
the
they
family
like
was
it.
A real – they were like, oh, that's not true. That don't happen, da-da-da. And they were like, that's fake. And so then the reality TV, everybody's like, oh, well, that's real. And then for the producers to come out and say, this is a real family, and they're right there in the audience. And this was scripted. This was just something that mimicked what we have on TV. And the sad part is everybody was so wanting to watch this, whatever this crap is. And like, it's as if black people don't succeed. I know that there are successful black people. I know that there are people that are involved, people of color, not just black, people of color who are involved in their kids' lives. I know a lot of two-parent families that are still walking around functioning, and it works. They love each other. The husband's not cheating. The wife is not the world's biggest whore. I mean, as long as we as blacks buy into the BS that they sell us about us and we support that, they're going to keep feeding that to us, because we neglect all the good stuff. Everybody has something negative to say about the good stuff. But people race home, will miss a bill to get into something that doesn't make any doggone sense.
Absolutely. And not that we even neglect the good stuff or, you know, we just, well, yeah, we neglect it. Sometimes we just don't, we don't say anything. We don't fail to just say something positive about the good stuff. We just don't say anything at all. Like, not to take it too far back to the Donald Sterling situation, but we are so in arms about, up in arms about Donald Sterling, but when we see our brothers killing each other on the streets and everybody with your pants sagging down and calling you this bitch, bitch this, bitch that, nigga this, nigga that, why don't we, you know, scream and rage about that? Why don't we all
comfortable with that?
But why are we comfortable with that? Why don't we all take a shirt off and throw it down in the middle of the street or something like that? Why is that, you know? Why is
because you will be asking us to come together to do something that will make us more positive. Because if we start making positive movements, we've got to continue to do that.
People, and we want to do that because that takes work.
Entitled, yes, they feel entitled. They want to sit back on their butt and let somebody else do everything for them. People want to get upset about something going on. They wait for somebody else to be the one to speak up. They don't want to speak up for themselves. They don't want to. They always think they get around the water coolers and they murmur amongst themselves at the water cooler. But some people that's murmuring with you cannot help the situation, whatever the situation is. You take it to the source. You take it to the source in a proper way. You don't go off half-cocked about it. And people don't want to do that because then you got to follow up and follow through. Are you kidding
me? But that goes back. That goes back to our February shows, and when we were talking about Black History and the whole sense of, you know, like the Willie Lynch letter. Like, you know, we have been so, I don't want to say brainwashed, conditioned. We live a certain way, and you know, we stay in our certain lane, we stay in a certain box, and you know, we can do this amongst ourselves, but we won't venture out and do things to come together to unify. We'll stay with that whole crabs in the barrel effect. So I can sit up and watch a show, and they call each other bitch, 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 or I can sit up and listen to music where they do call each other bitch, 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 you know, and that's okay. But oh my goodness, let somebody else say it, and we are all up in arms. Like Sid just said, you know, we get all upset, we get mad, we get pissed off. But my thing is, it's for me, it's the other way around. That does not surprise me. The whole thing with Donald Sterling, I was like, okay, yeah, you got busted. But why are we surprised? I mean, racism is alive and well. It has never died.
But
it's been
cutely
hidden.
We as blacks will jump on any inflamed media headline bandwagon. Like you said, why are we surprised? Let's be honest. Dude been racist all his life.
Born and bred and probably come from somewhere.
No secret.
And right.
So now someone puts it on tape and they want to slap it up on social media. Oh, my God, he said this and we should do this, we should do that. Hell no. He has the right to have his opinion. He has the right to say what he wants to say. He had the right to have expectation of some level of privacy because, I mean, take conversations because I don't remember what I say. And then he has the right to say have his opinion. But people need to understand, with freedom of speech and your right to stand on your soapbox and say whatever you want to say, you also need to understand that you're going to face consequences. You can be persecuted for those very words or actions. So go ahead. Do you be you. But I would have more respect for the racist who's racist and they own it and they know they're racist and there's no bones about it. I have more respect for that person. I respect anybody who owns who they are. Fake people get on my nerves. They make me sick.
Well, let's go there because we touched on a lot of this in our February shows about racism and where we are and where we've come. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't understand as a culture when we became so in the dark that racism was gone, or when did we become so, why are we so shocked and appalled that people still say the things that they say? Why would you because it was kind of swept under the rug and people became politically correct.
No,
now, I will say this.
Because
I will say this.
Media.
Oh, absolutely. But still, it has never been a secret. It has never
been something new.
And when did people think that it doesn't exist anymore? Now, I will say this. Since we've had a black president in office for the last two terms, it seems as if the remarks and the actions have just come and they're just blowing up because people are so resentful and so angry because there is an African-American who is the leader of the free world.
No, you know what it
but,
is? It's technology and social media. All this stuff that's happening has always happened. It just wasn't reaching that world as quick and as fast as it is now. And it's a bunch of BS. It's back to the crabs in the barrel in the Willie Lynch theory. If we feed them an inflammatory headline, they're going to jump on what this man said. No, let's back up. Let's jump on the fact that they allowed this man to own a basketball team in the first freaking place.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
Let's jump on the fact that he was not a closet racist, or he didn't just realize he was racist because, oops, he got something he wanted to say. We get inflamed by social media. We get inflamed by the retarded headlines. We always miss the big picture, and that's where they want us at. That keeps us down. That keeps us behind, and we're not fighting for the true cause. If we
but what happens when we become inflamed? Nothing.
Okay, but
that's just it. And that's what they want us, inflamed about nothing. As long as we're arguing about the little things,
the distraction.
They don't have to worry about those
distractions.
The big things.
Right. Ladies, I gotta jump in here because we do have a very important caller on the line. But before that, I just want to remind you to watch what you're saying because people are listening, and you never know who's gonna report you. So listen, we have a very important call on the line. We have Nico on the line from Texas.
Yay!
Hi, Nico.
Hi, everybody.
Here.
Hello, Nico.
Hello. Hey, Jackie. Guess what?
What?
It's 84 degrees. I have one short. I'm gonna go mow the lawn in a little bit.
I don't like you.
You
I don't like you,
and
I don't like Sig.
Should we
I'm
going to
go hold it on.
We're like okay with that. You cannot like us, but guess what? I can go outside and do the show and be happy. And all I have is a little T-shirt and some little bitty shirt.
Is it really that hot out that y'all
Mommy, you don't like me?
I love you, but I don't like you right now. You know how this
go join the club. It's a bunch of them that don't like me. They got matching jackets.
Anyway, how can
we
help you with
Nico? My hats and t-shirts. We got a club. We are popular.
You two are made for each other.
So Nico,
you sound like a hater.
We're talking about, Nico, we don't have a specific topic tonight, but we are just, it's an open forum. We're talking about whatever you're talking about. So what do you want to chat about?
Do you older women find younger men attractive? Because I think
my neighbor
is hitting on me.
No.
You think your neighbor is hitting on you?
I think my neighbor's hitting on me.
So what makes you think your neighbor's hitting on you?
I mean, I'd be out there mowing lawn, you know, my little tank top on, my tattoos out, guns looking nice, a little baby oil lawn. And she'd be smiling and waving all the time.
Okay,
and
wait a minute.
And that's cool.
Wait a minute. Nico, darling, baby. Yeah, you're looking like that mowing the lawn. I might look at you and wave too. You might want to look a little gruffy while you're mowing the lawn. Okay. That's
the
all
question is though, do you like that she's looking at you?
Absolutely. I like any kind of attention from anyone. Young, as long as they over 18.
So what will you do if she approaches you?
I don't know. She got a husband.
So then you know what? It's not even important whether or not she's interested in you. It's okay
you
for her to wave and say hello.
Yeah.
Wait.
But, you know,
is she interested
in question for him, though? Let's answer that question. Do older women like it? Do we like looking at young men? I like looking at them. Well, it depends on how young, and it depends on why I'm looking at them. Do I want a long-term relationship, marriage with them? Heck no. Do I want to just kind of get mine off? If that's how I want to do it, then, yeah, I might like looking at a younger man, yeah.
No. No, hell no. No, no way, damn it, no. Let me tell you why, and I can qualify it. And Lord knows, I hope somewhere down in the bowels of hell he's listening to this. Did the Mrs. Robinson thing. Uh-huh. Young men are a waste of my damn time. Levels of intelligence are limited. Stamina is all they have. I need more than that. They just worth nothing except for eye candy. Will I take one somewhere with me? You damn skippy. Will I do more than that? I will buy them some milk and cookies and send them home to their mama. That's it.
Oh, wow. It depends on what you want with them. So, you know.
Well, I don't think I'm going to answer this question.
Well,
no,
Jackie,
No, Jackie.
Answer the question, Jackie. It's an open forum.
You have to answer it.
Jackie, Nico, tell her again.
Oh, my
Call
goodness.
Call her, Jackie. Feel it.
Okay. I think younger men are attractive. And I think what Nafe says is true. It depends on where your age is. Now, if I'm at the age that I'm at and you're like 3 or 4 years younger than me, even 5 years younger than me, I don't even necessarily consider that younger than me. But you've got to have some life experience, because after a while, whatever it is that we are trying to have is very, very surface. And I always am looking for someone who can – I always like being with somebody who can kind of give me that wow factor, that awe factor, that wow, I really look at you and you can bring something to the table and you can teach me something and show me something. So if you haven't lived long enough, then you can't bring me something to the table. Even 35.
But see, I'm I guess because I'm, you know, not the standard, you know, I'm world traveled, college educated, employed, no kids, never been in jail. And I'm a pretty good woman.
Let me pat myself on the back.
The resume. Yes.
You know, no, Nico, seriously, there is nothing dispelling that, honestly. I think it's whoever you're attracted to, if you can share something and you're getting the same thing out of it. I think age really doesn't matter. My name is Signature Laura Black, and I realize I'm very shallow. You're under 30, keep it moving. You're over 53, shut the hell off. If your ass is like Santa on Christmas Eve, please keep it moving. Santa on Christmas Eve, for people that don't get that, on Christmas Eve, Santa's at his fattest and his widest girth. If your belly bigger than my whole body, and I'm not tiny by far, keep it moving.
For everybody, I think everybody has choices, have particular things that they like about a person.
No, you know what?
Mine
is really, really shallow. I kid you not. I realized it yesterday. I am really, really shallow to a point. Everything else about this man is he's intelligent. He has very good conversation. He is gorgeous from neck up. And he weighs about 5 million freaking pounds to me, and that made me want to throw up. And we're standing outside, and he has the gall, the audacity, the nerve to take the bottom of his shirt and wipe his face. Man, all that sex and roll out.
Wow.
His ass have breasts bigger than mine. No.
Okay, y'all, we need to have something on that one.
I love it. And I'm a bold watcher, and he definitely meets the plate on that. But all that fat just blew it out the water. I realize I'm shallow.
Does anybody have a height preference?
Yes. You got to be more than me. You tall as ride this ride.
Yeah, you got to be definitely taller than me.
How tall is tall? What are we talking about? 6 feet and up?
6 feet and
I'm
up.
I'm 5'2½". I'm 5'2½", flat-footed. I never wear flats. So when I put on my heels, I at least got to be, you know, 5'5". So you have to be taller than me.
Wow, you're
short. Yeah, I'm 5'5", so I'm looking at you. You got to be at least 5'9", or better, 5'8", 5'9", or better. And, you know, I was such a tomboy as a kid, and I think because I bullied boys so bad as a kid. Like, I definitely need somebody bigger than me that I can attempt to bully, but I know I really can't. It's just something about having someone who's taller than me, you know, protect me, look out for me, look over me, that whole thing.
Yes.
So I definitely need, not saying that someone short can't be wonderful. I'm not saying that there are short men who are fabulous, and anybody who's listening who is a man who is under 5'8", I am not taking away from you at all. But even my kids are 6 feet and better. But I'm just saying, you know, for me, my personal preference is someone who's at least at 5'8", 5'9". 5'9" would just usually be the cutoff for me. So,
yes. You know what?
Not
saying
I couldn't fall in love with somebody short.
I hate to jump in here and interrupt, but we have got to take a music break. But we're going to take a short music break, and we'll come right back. To all of our listeners out there, please give us a call again. We are talking about whatever you're talking about tonight. Give us a call, 646-478-4507. Don't go away, and we'll be right back.
Shadow. Ain't nothing wrong with admiration. Don't be ashamed. Admiration is beautiful. When I was young, I used to always have admiration.
Okay, okay. All right, big man. You want to make some big bucks, huh? That's how tough you are. You know something about cocaine? Dígame. You kidding me or what, man? There's a bunch of Colombians coming in Friday. Two guys. They said they got two keys for us, for openers. Pure cocaine. You tell them capiche. I want you to go over there. And if it's what they say it is, you buy it and you bring it back. You can do that, you make $5,000.
Yo, this Birdman, Cash Money, Young Money. Believe that.
StunnerLife.com.
Where you deposit young money and you get cash money. I'm Tunchy the Boss. And live from the vault, it's Bust a Bus.
Yeah. Swag mania, pomp and ghost most. Carry the most beautiful bitches with us happily toast. Keep the faculty close, gross when we give them a dose. Got them OD and leaning in each coast. Scenery froze, take notes, rock boats, diamonds that fit us. Chanel minks in the winter, who fucking with us? We coming to give them the shivers. Water we flow, spilling like rivers. Flood in the street, hoping niggas and swimmers move with gorillas. King Kong's Godzilla's when we roll up. Seats filling niggas, get up when
shit.
I show up.
Please don't throw up, hold your liquor, go up. If you robbing niggas, we gon' show you how to blow up. Thank your lucky stars, that's the rap czar. Tuck your shit in, my niggas bite like a rent-in. To my chagrin, you never win. Model thin, walking crack in your shin. She gives in every time that I spin. Square up, bow down to the kings of the hall. We way gone, talk shit while we ball. So what's cracking with y'all?
Native New Yorker, the slick talker, keep shit in order. Call a reporter, stepping like British walkers. Legendary swag fluent, see the influence, see how we do it. Get them into it steadily, got them stupid, so undisputed. Act full, back tool, till they pop off. Police crowd up the street, blocking them off, locking them off. Got these niggas wildin' while I signal my soldiers. Bossing it up, maintaining composure, staying on the sofa. 30 bottles, 20 waitresses, bring them over. See how we light up shit, nigga, call a promoter. Tell that nigga, bring the bag, better hurry up with it and count the money up proper, cause you can get it.
Yeah, I feel good, don't it? I feel good, don't it? Hey, I wanna let y'all know. Hey, hey, I wanna let y'all know. This easy. And you listening to Q-Tip. Set him up, stiletto up, saddle up and let's go. Good times, only difference niggas making it dope. Chatter is up, peep the way we batter it up on top of the mountain.
Welcome back to the Every Woman Talk Show. We are back from break, and we are talking about whatever you're talking about tonight. There is no specific topic, so give us a call, 646-478-4507. Thank you to all of our listeners out there for listening in, but we want to talk to you, so y'all hit us up. Let us know what's on your mind. Let us know how your week was. Let us know how you're feeling and what you're thinking. So, ladies, we're back.
Okay, so am I the only one who starts crap off at work? to kind of just get like a pull at work and just kind of bring in the top topics that we have at work.
Guys, for the show What Men Want Women to Know, I surveyed 105 men for real.
And what did you find out that?
Well, on the show, I just want to say I know I did a survey 105 men for it. It turned out to be 375 because I don't know why people think it's okay to send my little questionnaires to their friends. But it's
well,
cool.
Because
I'm
people want
to
share. People want to share, and that's actually a great thing that people want to share. So,
yeah, when I said I'm compiling information, they really drove me crazy. I'm like, wait a minute, guys, I've got to do some statistics on this, and y'all are killing me. I think the results are great. I can't wait for the show. The show is going to be awesome. I also have a bunch of guys who I told them, don't answer my questionnaire. I want you to call in. They agreed to call in, so that's going to be a great show.
Good. Okay, let's give those brothers a little applause out there.
Woo-hoo! I am looking forward to that show.
Yes.
Like,
and
all the
yes.
single brothers, y'all going to get a different number
yes.
to call. But anyway.
Not the brothers.
Okay,
speaking
I'll tell
brothers,
you who's single
y'all.
And who not. I'll tell you who's single and who not.
Well, speaking of the brothers in the show that we did not too long ago about the online dating, I was watching Steve Harvey, and they talked about this app, Tinder Dating. I don't know if y'all heard of that. Or am
Tinder
I the only
dating?
One?
Yes, Tinder. No. Like T-I-N-D. Well, Steve had a guest on the show, and she was talking about this app, and it's online dating. And what it does is that, you know, you just sign up, and it links onto your Facebook account. And I was a little leery about that at first because I didn't want this big old thing popping up on Facebook. Hey, y'all, Natay is on Tinder dating looking for a man. You know, I didn't want that. But they said that, you know, they don't connect any of your posts, anything to Facebook. So I signed up, and what you do is that it just brings up all the men in your area because you have to put the little GPS on your phone, and you start seeing their pictures and their messages. So I signed up, and so I've been, you know, scrolling through the brothers and chit-chatting a little bit. And,
okay.
You know, it's interesting.
Wow.
It's interesting.
Well, to play with
you
that.
Have to
I
keep us abreast of this. Yeah.
I'm just nosy,
yes.
And I like to do research because I love my man. I love my man.
Go on it. Go, but the only thing I don't like is that you can't put, like, I only want black men, I only want Latino, or I want a mixture. You just get whoever comes up in your area. And ironically enough, a guy that I was trying to date and see when I was about 20 years old, he was 40 back then. His profile now says he's 45. That was about 20 years ago. So, I mean, he came up.
You need to meet him for coffee and tell me what he looked like now. I just want to know.
You know,
definitely.
You know what the thing is? I think he posts some younger pictures because he looking a little older, a little bit more weathered.
You said he was
now.
40 back then.
He was 40,
20 years ago.
He was 40
ago.
Back
his
then.
His ass collected,
yes.
Social Security.
So, yes.
Get
so
the hell out of here.
He's saying he's 45, and I know, brother, you ain't no 40. And so he didn't remember who I was at first. I said, okay, I'm going to peep your game. You're straight lying. So just like the show that we had not too long ago, the brothers are on the online dating sites, not all of them, but some of them are lying. The good thing is that he had both eyes. He had two eyes. He didn't have no one eye, so, you know, that was cool.
Yeah. Did he have all his teeth? Did he smile? Did he have all his teeth? Because that is such a big thing for me.
Jackie, the picture was a little fuzzy, so I don't know.
No.
Now, Jackie, how would you feel if you took him out and gave him to you? I'm exactly
No.
Ooh,
I need right now in my life, at this point where I'm at in my life right now, I need you to have all of them, and I need them to be yours.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Not the
three.
One you purchased.
That you grew.
I can't do shades.
Yet.
I can't do shades of gold. No. Smiles are a big thing to me. Smiles, hands, as far as, like, what your nails look like. I don't care if you do dig graves for a living. You don't have to look like it all the time. So
oh,
I need you to clean.
I got to share. There's a lady at the center today. It was her birthday. And we were there, and this guy comes in the door, and he's asking for this other girl. So I go, okay, I'll go get it. I'm like, okay, he's handsome. You know, I can't help it. I look at men.
Then
there's this other guy that comes behind him, and I totally forgot about the first brother. I was like, sweetie, who do you need to see? Are you single? Are you gay? What do you do for a living? He does single-gram, you know.
A single-gram.
He came to sing her happy birthday.
And
brother, not only is he 6'2" and a half, he is solid 220 pounds of chiseled muscle, and he can sing. He did happy birthday, closed the door, a little private session. He sung, I forgot the dang old song. He sung her Tim song. I'm sitting there going, baby, can you take that?
Well, did you get a card? Because I might need a singogram.
Wait a minute. Did I get a card? I got statistics and a phone number, and can we go out tomorrow?
You need to forward that for research purposes. You need to forward that. Yeah.
This other guy was going, I can't believe you act like that. He said, you straight did not ask him what he was there for. I said, you got to interview people off the spot. You never know what you might need them for. And he said to me, what if your man was here? He'd be like, she acts like that. What? I didn't, like, do things to him because my mom was thinking. But he looks good. I paid.
Well.
I get credit where credit is due. He is
absolutely
really gorgeous. And I do have his information. So if somebody knock on your door and start singing, it was from me.
I love you, Sig. I'm going to thank you in advance. I love you. Thank you. I'm going to forward you my address.
And I am
having one thing.
I am.
Like, well, I know, Sig, you got a man, but what's one thing that your man has to have in order for you to be with him? Like, what's the one thing that's just, you know, you cannot do without?
Are we talking something tangible or characteristic?
Whatever
matter.
It is for you. Whatever it is for you. Like, Sig, what is it for
it's,
you, Jackie?
It,
what is it for you?
It's the mental for me. He gets me at my mental. You can't get anywhere with anything, not even as a friend for me. It's the mental. You've got to be able to hold a conversation. You've got to be able to just make my mind think, and I can learn something from a mere conversation with you. You've got to understand that we're not going to always agree, but we can have a great conversation and giving each other views on something. And
I hate to sound corny. I hate to sound corny and jump on that bandwagon, but I think that's – I mean, don't get me wrong. I think as human beings, you know, we definitely look at a person first, you know, and it's something about that person physically that attracts you. But
right.
I think for me to say going into a relationship or even, you know, going past hello is it has to be something where we click mentally. I mean, and you got to be able to get me because I'm a little quirky. I'm very quirky. And you got to be able to get me. And if you can get me and understand me and then offer humor and strength, most definitely. That's it. But it's definitely on a mental level.
Okay, you can't have all three now. You've got to be mental. You may not get human strength. You may only get getting you on a mental
no,
level.
No, you know what? If you go into it with, for me, everything is about the mental. People always say, oh, you got to be attracted to the person. It's the mind that I get attracted to first. Now, everything else puts you in your category. If you sexy walking with a serious swagger, yeah, you got the mental. Yeah, we can go a whole lot further. We can get to know each other. If you are Christmas Eve Santa Claus, we can be friends. And don't ever take anything off in front of me again.
You gotta stop thinking at Santa Claus.
You know what? For me, you have to. You really.
I see him every day now.
You have to. For me, you have to love Jesus. I mean, you have to have a relationship with him. It can't be no, oh, my mom took me to church when I was a kid, or I prayed. Like one dude told me, he said, I read my Bible 2 years ago. And I said, oh, you know, not that I want you to be a Bible thumper or a preacher or nothing, but I need you to be able to pray, to be able to talk to God, because it's going to take some of that throughout our relationship. So for
You're
me,
absolutely
that's
right.
The first and foremost, that's the most important thing. You can look good. I know look fade in conversation. You know, you may, your tongue may fall out. I don't know. I want you to love the Lord and genuinely, you know, love God.
I think I think the most important thing is that whatever is important to you also has to be important to that person.
To
like the love of Christ to you is a focal point in your life. And that has to be the same for the person that you delve into a relationship with. You know, because it says, you know, you can't be unevenly yoked. So I can't be running for Jesus and, you know, you always at Bedside Baptist or you know, it's like you're not even there. So that definitely is I think to sum it up is it has if it's important to you, it needs to be important to that person as well.
I think this is only from studies and research and I've had this discussion to the point where I had to go meet some couples who were Christian married to an atheist, and that blew my mind, or a Buddhist married to a Christian, or a Muslim married to a Christian, or whatever. And for me, I need you to have a relationship with God and understand that me and God have been hanging out, so I could talk. And before then, I know him personally because, like I said, I've done some things and I've always needed him by my side. I never walk alone. I need you to understand that you're not the higher being. You're not the end-all, the be-all. I need for him to understand that I may love you, I may be in love with you, but I'm never going to worship you. You're not God. And you've got to understand to me that there's a higher being than you, because it seems like every time I say something, I get humbled 30 seconds later. God and I have a real good relationship. If I were to say he's got a da-da-da-da-da, I would meet some man who rubbed Buddha's belly all the time. So
yeah, I think it's about what's important.
Being,
And it's not an argument that, and we can discuss our spiritual, religious beliefs, and we're okay with it. I think as long as we can have harmony there, we're good. Now, if you're going to try to make me convert to whatever, and you're going to Bible thump me and beat me over the head with for your beliefs or the way you think the world should be, then you're going to have to go hang out with Christmas Eve Santa because I can't do it.
Right, and I understand that, you know, and again, I think, like, you know, it becomes about what's important to you, and people that you are with have to respect that, and it has to be important to them. I mean, I've been in relationships where, you know, my love of Christ is there, and, you know, that person's love of Christ is there, but maybe didn't run the same way I ran, and I watched them develop, and I watched them start to take those bigger steps and have a more personal relationship, but the seed was already there. So it was important to them. They had to develop that relationship, you know, their own personal relationship, but the seed was already there. So I think that when, you know, you're trying to develop something with somebody and they are just not on the same playing field, especially when it comes to something as important as your spiritual well-being, if they are not there at all, you know, I don't see where it can necessarily work. But,
right,
you know,
that's going to be stress in a relationship if they can't
what's important
support
to you.
Where you are.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's what's important to you, definitely.
Okay, I have a question for you guys. Thoughts on, and I know this is going to, I think I know what Natalia is going to say, but I can't say I know because opinions tend to shock you. Women asking men to marry them.
I know what Natalia is going to say because we have this.
No, you don't. No. You know, let me just tell you. I have a friend who did that. A friend, high school friend, and out of college. You know, she was just in love with dude, and she said, "Natalia, I'm going to ask him to marry me." She brought a ring and all that, and I kept saying,
"Oh,
don't
wow.
do that. Don't do that." But she did it. She asked him to marry her, and I guess, you know, he just said, "Well, shoot, I'm going to go on and marry this girl." They've been married. He has been cheating from day one. She is still with him, and I think she's internalized it, and she suffers from it, but she won't leave him. She's made him her world. They have three kids.
Okay, but let me ask you this. Do you think it was because she asked him to marry? I think if he was going to cheat, would it have mattered if he asked or she asked?
You know, no, I don't. I don't think it would have mattered. I just think she wanted him a little too much, and she should have waited. I think she just should have waited. And maybe if she had waited, maybe she would have seen, like, you know, maybe he's not as into me, and maybe I should not have married him. But no, I don't think,
okay.
No. I don't think women, you knew my answer, Signo. I just don't think. I mean, if that's what you want to do, if that's what floats your boat, go ahead, but I wouldn't suggest it or recommend it.
Jackie?
To each their own. Me personally, I don't think that I would ask a man to marry me. Simply because, you know, and you know, I'm always talking about, you know, how we are socialized and, you know, sometimes we need to break those things. But I think when it comes to marriage, I think we do need to let the man take the lead. Simply because I think men have, I don't want to say more of an issue when it comes to marriage. But I think for them, the idea of settling down, giving up everything that's supposedly out there with the rest of the world, you know, for them, it is a huge step to say to a woman, I want to spend the rest of my life with you. For them to be emotionally committed to you and all that other stuff that they're supposed to do, I think it's a big step for them. And I think it's a step that they feel that they have to take when they need to take it. I don't know if I would say to anybody, even my husband, you know, like when we were together, it's like I was like, hey, you want to go hang out? Hey, you want to come visit me at 12 o'clock at night? But I wouldn't be like, hey, you want to marry me? You know, it's just not for me. It's not for me. I think also to the selfish attention seeking part of me wants to know that you want to marry me. So come ask me. Definitely come. Because we lived together for a few years before he asked to marry me. you know, and he asked to marry me because, you know, he loved me, but it was like, you know what, it's the right thing to do. We're living together. We have children together. This is where I want to be. I'm stepping up and I'm doing the right thing. So I was like, okay, we'll get married.
Okay.
Sig, you're out the box. I'm going to guess you, Sig. Sig, you're so far out the box. You are like, it's okay.
I don't think it's okay.
Oh, really? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Now, I'm surprised at that one. I'm surprised. I didn't expect that.
But you know what? I will say this.
She's
traditional about some things.
Yes. I am very submissive in a relationship, so how can I be submissive in
some things you are traditional about?
And say, will you marry me? I don't think women should propose. I'm not buying a damn ring for you. I will buy your wedding ring. That's what we're supposed to do. I'm not getting down on bended knee in front of a restaurant in the privacy of our bedroom, hanging out on a balcony on the beach. I'm not asking you to marry me. Not because I don't want to marry you. It's just not my place to be asked to marry you because, to me, a man chooses his wife, not a wife chooses her husband. So, no, I don't think people should do it. Will I support you if you want to do it? Yes, most definitely. I'll get the cameras in there and set everything up. Hell, I'll help you pick out the ring. And I will pray every day until you ask that man, and he says yes, really. And I know me, I'm stupid. I'm going to hit around to find out if he's going to say yes, because I'm not going to let you make a fool of yourself.
And that's I think that's okay. I think that's
if
okay
that's
if there's
do,
a little
I
nudging. I think it's okay for a little nudging. However, I think when that moment actually comes, it needs to come from that man. It needs to be that he has laid all his fears down, that he has – you know, in his mind committed that this is what he truly wants to do. This is where he wants to be. Because it's just like anything else.
Yeah,
sometimes when you reverse the roles too much, you wind up pushing things away.
Yeah.
I think when a man is asked to marry, you know, if a woman asks a man to marry him, I think that it kind of, I don't want to say belittles him, you know, that's definitely not the right word, but I think
it
took something.
It can emasculate him. It can't.
That's the word I'm looking for. I think they feel emasculated because now the roles, which we have always had since the dawn of time, are completely reversed. And now it's almost like he's like the woman and she's the man.
Yeah. Okay, second part of my question. Church wedding or does it matter?
First wedding or does it matter?
Church wedding, that big church wedding.
Wait, what's the question? Does a big wedding matter?
Does it matter to have a church wedding?
Does your wedding have to be a church wedding, or are you perfectly comfortable with, let's say, get married by justice of the peace?
I can go in my basement and get married, just him and I. I don't care about anybody being there, and I mean that.
I am so shocked. Oh, my God, I did not agree.
I don't want, and you know, five women behind me in a colored dress. I'm too old for that. I don't want that. I have no pleasure in people watching me walk down the aisle, and I pay a lot of money for them to eat. I can go on my basement outside on the street. I mean that, honestly, and say I do. I really do. I don't care.
I mean, nobody there.
I am thoroughly shocked. Jackie,
I wanted. I got married in the church. Now, I didn't have a huge church. It was important to me to be in God's house when I got married. Now, we got married in my pastor's study. It was three other people there, but that was important to me to have my wedding in the house of worship where we went. That was important to me, and we did do that. Now, for my second wedding, do I want something a little bit more? I do. I'm girly in some instances, and I'm such a tomboy in others. Now, do I want, like, I don't need, like, a 10-foot train, and I don't need, like, 18 bridesmaids and a ring bearer and a flower girl. I don't need all of that. But I would like to have a larger wedding than what I had if I get married again.
Wow.
I like to send everybody an email and say, listen, I got married last night, you know, praise the Lord, and I'm happy, and I'll catch y'all in a month.
You can send money only gifts too.
You don't even have to give me a gift. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'll put some pictures up and you can check them out. And hey, that's it. All right, thank you.
So we completely.
I don't have the patience for all that.
I am thoroughly shocked by both of your answers because you flip flopped on me.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
I don't care about those invitations.
I wanted that big church wedding. I really did. For me?
You thought I want, no, I don't care about that.
I can get, I'm like, Natay, we can get married in the bathroom out the shower. I don't care.
Hello?
I have never had that big wedding. I have never wanted that big wedding. I remember as a kid sitting around talking with those retarded people that my parents had around me and before me, called my sisters, and they all wanted these big, lavish weddings. And so I was like, I don't want all that shit. I want 6 boys and 3 dogs. What's the problem? Never factored a husband into the matter. When I got married the first time, it was like, okay. Isn't there a little chapel down the road where that lady does nothing but marry people? We got married there.
Yeah.
When I got married the second time, I was bored. There was no shoe sale, and it was raining outside. And he goes, we can get married today. We were both doing a lot of traveling. He goes, we're both home today. We can get married today. I called the justice of the peace said if we get down there by 1. Well, at 11, I got called into court at 2. So I'm like, I'll be in the courthouse anyway. Yeah, we can do that. So I got married at 1, and I went to court at 2. I was perfectly fine with that. And but this is my thing. I'm like, Natay, I don't want to spend a lot of money for you to eat and watch you walk.
No, I don't want to do that either. You know,
you know
what my biggest thing?
I don't want to spend money on a freaking dress that I'm never going to wear.
No,
and I'll rent it or sell it on eBay.
I hate that. And so it's like, okay, well, and I need a dress I can wear again. So I can be able to cut the bottom off and wear it again.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
I don't want to spend money on a cake because I hate wedding cake. I hate birthday cake. It all tastes horrible to me. Somebody make me a lemon cake.
So I'm
going to
make you some cupcakes.
Yes, I'll take
that. Give everybody
no,
a cupcake.
No, I'm so happy. I'm so happy with that. I don't need all the frills and thrills. You know what else I hate about weddings? I hate this. I hate this. I hate this. You call and say, see, you want to be my wedding? I go, sure, Jackie. I'll be your maid of honor. I'll be a hostess. Well, I got to pay to be in your damn wedding.
Hey, you know what? That needs some applause. Okay, wait a minute. I got to get some applause on that one. I'm sorry. Yeah. Because you know
that
what? I had paid for so many dresses. I'm not paying anymore. And you know what I do?
No.
I tuck that little
not
tag inside.
Dress.
I sell it on eBay. I list it
not
before I even
dress.
Show up in your wedding.
I'm talking about, have you ever been a hostess at anybody's wedding?
No, I'm not.
You know what happens with a hostess? You're required to wear this ugly-ass dress that's some god-awful color that you don't want and you will never wear. You can't even dye this dress to make it look better. With some ugly, uncomfortable shoes. And guess what? A hostess pays a hostess fee. It's usually a couple hundred bucks. That money goes towards the bridal shower. It goes towards the bridal shower.
Wait a minute.
And then you're still expected to give a gift. You best believe I was calling Miss Manners and Lady Etiquette, and I was calling people. And, you know, I sent out a mass email. This is why you wankers are not my friends. Do not invite me to be in your weddings because I'm not paying for you to get married. I'm not sleeping with you for the rest of your life.
Let me tell you what my best friend did. She had her second wedding. Her first wedding, we did all of that. We had the frills. We had these ugly peach and black dresses that I was like, this thing is ugly when I put it on. But with her second wedding, she was like, look, I'm not doing all that. She lives in Maryland. And outside of Rockland is a beautiful botanical garden. They got married in the botanical garden. Because they were Maryland residents, it cost them $50 to use the garden. And when she had us in her wedding, she knew what color she wanted. She said, buy a dress this color. She had pink and it was almost like a brown color. So pink is my favorite color. So she said, you're automatically buy whatever pink dress. And I was like, well, how long, how short? She's like, I don't care. Whatever you're comfortable in. She was just, you can wear something you have in your closet. And I loved her for that because she didn't put a lot of crazy demand on anybody being in the wedding. You know, her nieces were her flower girls. And it was like, you know, she told her sister, she said, whatever they already had in their closet, she's like, if they have a pink dress in their closet, we'll get a brown sash and we'll put it around. We went and got, like, ribbon material, and we just put it around so they wore pink and brown. Her requests were so simple. She didn't have any. She just asked you to wear a color. So she was like, whatever you guys get, she said, if you buy something new, please let it be something you can use again. I don't want you to buy a dress that is only for this wedding. And
that
I love her for that.
That was a ridiculous thing. But you know what? I was all my friends are guys. My best friend was getting married, and we grew up together. We've known each other since we were 4. We're the same age. And when he was getting married, his wife kept saying, who's going to be your best man? He said, I don't have a best man. I have a best woman. Sig's going to be my best man. She was okay with that until she kept asking me, what was I wearing at the wedding? She did not want me at her wedding standing up as the best man wearing a dress.
No, so she didn't want you to put a suit on. Please.
She wanted you to wear like a tux.
And I didn't have a problem with that. I was ahead of her, but I had to let her know that, you know, I told her, I said, Patricia, I love you dearly. I'm glad you're marrying him. Somebody had to. I was going to have to pay somebody. But you don't tell me what to wear. You don't dictate my life. I wasn't wearing a dress anyway. I am going to wear a tux. And then she got exceedingly happy until the day of the wedding.
But
of course,
makes
my
no
tux
sense
was tailor-made, and it was laced and satin. It was not a typical tux. And I can't help it if my tux had the same legs as her dress. Yeah, I did it on purpose. She pissed me off. But I was like, she's got to be kidding me. And as the best man, of course, I threw his bachelor party. She was mad about that. And then my other best friend was like, every time I get married, and I should have known then he was crazy. He said, every time I get married, you're going to be my best man. You're going to throw my bachelor party.
Every time
he's getting yeah, and he's got married 3 times. He was not joking about that.
So he meant it. He knew what he was forecasting.
Yes. And so every time I've gotten married, I've worn a tux. I don't have a problem wearing a tux. They have to understand it's going to be done my way. I like
well,
it.
You know, that's tacky, though. I think that's so mean-spirited to dictate, like, I want you to wear a tux. Women generally don't wear a tux. So why would you even, you know, just say you don't want me in the way?
She used to say she couldn't say that because that would have been a deal breaker. Like I said, we've been friends since we were 4, and that would have been a deal breaker. So she couldn't say that, and she figured if she put some stipulations, I would back down. But she kept saying, "Speak truly, if you tell him that you don't want to be the best man, he's not going to push the issue. You can carry the title, but he'll get somebody else to stand up for him." I said, "No, we've been through hell together. I am going to make sure I'm there when he says I do to you." And so her constantly coming and trying to circumvent him to me, and I had to let her know, this is a bond etched in stone, boo.
You
can't
break
between
that.
It. So instead of wearing the tux, just a plain satin tux, I decided to slap some lace on that, and I had the same pattern she had on her dress. And she
but
was
see,
mad at me.
This is
like,
what annoys me.
You started this.
This is what annoys me, and I don't want to say women because a lot of women think I women bash, but I really don't. But we tend to do it, and I can speak from a woman's perspective, is don't say something you don't mean. Don't put something out there, and when you don't get the reaction that you're looking for, you get mad. So she put it out there, wear a tux, thinking that it was going to make you feel uncomfortable, not realizing that was your thought plan anyway. So now it's like she's feeling some kind of way because, you know, not only did you do the tux, but then, you know, you did it, you know, with the signature style, no pun intended. But, you know, she really shouldn't have said it. She should have been like, look, you know.
And he told her, he said, I don't know what happened because that's not the tux he picked out. I really did have a male tux for real, but I also have it cut and tailored to me. But he's like, he said, I don't know what you did, but you brought that on yourself. And one of the sad part is she had a dress to change into for the reception. That fool going to keep that tux on all day. And surely I did.
Of course.
That's
you know, so
crazy.
Don't say things you don't mean. You know, if you're uncomfortable with something, say you're uncomfortable with it. You know, you may not be able to change it. But, you know, be honest and upfront about it. You know, she thought she was going
if
to back you into
a
corner.
If she came to me in a different way, then it would have been totally, 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 totally different. But she didn't. But they've been married 20-some years. She learned her lesson. That's why he gets a stripper every year on his birthday. I get her to strip butt naked. I don't care where he's at.
Okay.
So let me tell y'all, life is my sister's married. She sent us an email, all of us, family, the day before her wedding and said, listen, I'm getting married tomorrow at this date, this place, and this time.
If you
can. You're welcome to attend if you want.
That's hilarious. I love it.
And she's still married to this day. I love that. She did it her way how she wanted. She even spent a dime, and she's happily married. I love that.
That's why
I
think destination weddings are cool.
I don't think that you have to go all out and do the whole 9-yard wedding thing. Now,
I don't think weddings are for the couples anyway. The couples don't get to enjoy the wedding most of the time. They're working. They're working their wedding.
To me, it costs entirely too much money for one freaking day. But the Mr. and I, we had this conversation because we had a group, and we posed these questions, and he floored me with the, no, when we get married, we're going to go all out, church wedding, big dress, the whole 9 yards. And I'm going, oh, my God. Okay, if you say so. That brings me to my next question. Black wedding dresses, acceptable or not?
Who? Black? You said black?
Black.
Mm-hmm. I've never seen a black wedding dress.
Yeah, okay, they're designed for evening weddings. It was taboo years and years ago. The last 10 years, it's become really, really popular, so much so you've got to Google black and white weddings. They are gorgeous.
Let me tell you, I don't know if anybody watches David Chuchel and My Fair Wedding.
Yes, I love him.
Yes.
Let me tell you.
I didn't know that man was gay.
This girl, I wanted David Chuchel in my life, gay or not. He did a young lady had an Alice in Wonderland type scene, and she wanted this black wedding dress. And, you know, of course, her mother being very traditional was having a fit, yada, yada, yada. Even David was like, oh, my God, I can't believe she wants this black wedding dress. He tried to convince her to do otherwise. He finally found this black wedding dress for her, and it was absolutely amazing. She was a curvy girl, so she looked phenomenal in this black wedding dress, and her whole thing was black and white, and it was just phenomenal. So I've seen on his show where he's done black wedding dresses, red, blues, different colors.
Come on,
David
Chuchel did a barnyard wedding, and that was a bomb.
That was
great.
Wait. That was beautiful.
Black wedding dress, yes or no?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay,
I don't think the tradition still holds.
You've got to Google some black wedding.
Yeah, I'm
going to
look it up.
They
I
even have black and white paints.
Get married in the rainbow colors. To me, it's like, you know, we put so much focus on that day versus the lifestyle that you're going to have with that person. So get married in gym shorts. Get married in your – I don't particularly care. Get married in whatever you want to get married
in. At the end
in.
Of the day, I'm married.
I am shocked by Alderman Tate's marriage answer. She's
no, I'm serious.
Killing me.
For me, it's been so long. My thing is I'm not trying to have no all-night reception. Let's wrap this up in an hour. Let me give you a little cupcake. Be out the door. So I'm – me and Boo can go do what we need to do. Goodbye.
We need to consummate this marriage.
True to tradition,
if I do have to have a big wedding or whatever, yeah, we're going to have a wedding, have a reception. It's going to be an evening wedding. He has put the kibosh on the black dress. He's like, oh, hell no. You want to do something other than white, definitely understand that. You can go a light champagne, a very light gray if you like. But my thing is we're going to start our wedding off this morning. Because I'm going to have a nightclub wedding reception, and I'm going to enjoy my wedding reception. I really am. Because
a lot of people do. That's become the new trend. The new trend in weddings has become an event, right, and if they call it an event wedding where they're having it on Fridays, they're having it in a club, and it's more of not some stuffy old wedding reception. It's really a party. It's truly a party where the bride and the groom can actually enjoy it.
Yeah, I want everybody to be comfortable clothes. I don't want you still wearing them shoes that's killing you because you're at my wedding or anything like that. I want comfortable clothes. I want everybody to have a good time. I don't want the party to end because the bride and groom leave, because we're not leaving until the last guest leaves. And then we start.
Oh, my, y'all got to go. Y'all got to get out. I mean, I'm just not feeling all it. But now I got a question for y'all. I have a scenario. A friend of mine, her dad passed away, and, you know, my heart goes out to her and her family and prayers. And so I went to the funeral service, stopped working, went on up there, and I didn't go to the burial site. And I just went home after that. I generally don't do burial sites, even for my own relatives. That's just not my thing. And she has cut me out of her life because I did not go to the burial site.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh.
I'm not the only friend that showed up.
Go to the burial site?
She has stopped being my friend because I did not go to the burial site. Did not. And I went home after the funeral. Went home. I didn't go to the burial site. I didn't come back to hang around. And so what do y'all think of that? And I've tried to talk to her, but I said, you know what? I've gotten to the point where you don't want to, like, old girl over here, that's fine. God bless you. Keep it moving. Her son is my God's son. And you know what? I'm not going to
It is what it is.
Okay, have you spoken to her?
Have you tried to reach out to her?
Several times, but I'm not doing it anymore.
You know what? You know what? Oh. You're good, because my one reach out is all you're going to get. If you don't want to be my friend, I can say
well,
next. Because
okay, maybe. Okay, you know I'm always trying to be the voice of reason. Maybe she felt that, you know, she really needed you there to help her get through that. And, you know, that whole internment. And maybe you weren't there for that, so maybe she felt abandoned by you because you guys are such good friends.
Okay, but is you don't go to the site. If she's your friend, does she not know that?
You know what? I don't know if she knows that. We never talked about that part. I originally was going to go, but I just felt, I don't do them. Since my dad died when I was 5, I've just had a thing with them.
I
don't do them.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I never talked about that.
I don't do funerals at all. I did good to go to my mom's funeral. Today's her birthday, by the way.
Happy birthday. I've been having 6 moms.
Happy birthday.
Okay. I did good to go. We have a big family debate about where she's at. Come on, my mom's the ex-Chicago cop. Anyway, so don't worry about it. My mom knows me. But before she died, I was like, well, you know, when you kill over, I'm not going to your funeral because I don't do funerals. And that was always the thing. I didn't have to go to a funeral. Of course, the people they surround me with called freaked the hell out when my mom passed. And my dad wasn't back in the country, so I had to go do the funeral in the whole 9 yards. But everybody knows, I feel for you when somebody passes. They don't do funerals. If you're going to get mad at me because this is my issue, then get mad at me. Whenever you get over your moment, we can still be friends. Otherwise, there's somebody standing around who won't take your place anyway next.
See, my thing is, when you get over it, it's too late. We can't be friends after that.
9 times out of 10, as long as it takes people to get over that, the expiration date is coming gone.
Yeah, at least I came. At least I came to the funeral. I didn't have to come. I came. So you're upset, and you know, honestly, her family was there.
How long have you guys been friends? How long have you guys been friends?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Since
what?
High school.
Since
wow.
She should know you don't go to funerals. She should know you don't go to funerals. Congratulations.
Yeah.
She should know that.
The thing is,
she should
know that. I came. So you throw me away because I didn't go to the burial site?
Let me tell you. My best friend and I have been friends since we were 4 years old. I met Karen when we were 4. We met in church. When my father died, Karen flew up here. And, you know, she was there for me. And I have the same issue as you, Matei. Since my dad has died, you know, I coped with it very, very well. But unless you're extremely close to me and the person who has passed away is also close to me, I'm not coming. I may come to the wake and I'll sign the book. I'm not going up front. I'm not doing any of that. And I will not go to the burial site. The last time I've done that was my father's sister and my grandmother-in-law, who was like my grandmother to me, and my grandmother. That's it. I'm not going. Even when my grandmother passed away last year, I lagged behind. I wasn't up front.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have to respect my way of coping with, and that's my way of coping with my dad's death, because for me, a lot of that is reliving that all over again. You know, and that's why I don't do it. So anybody who knows me, respects me or anything, they know that about me. Or if I don't go up, I'll explain it to you. I don't have a problem with explaining it to you. But again, like you said, you were there. And when my best friend's dad died, I was there. But all that going out to the cemetery, I will meet you guys back. I will have the repast all set up.
But you know what? Honestly, we're not talking about a wedding. We're not talking about a happy occasion. There are some things that even if you don't explain it, you know, and you say, you know, I've had a death in the family, you know, and you guys go, okay, well, we'll go, but I don't do this and I don't do that. The fact that you even came,
yeah,
to
show support,
because this is the thing, everybody deals. Death is not one of those things that we openly do crazy crap about. Everybody has to cope with that. That's one thing you have got to respect individual reactions.
Yep.
And so to write somebody off over a non-attendance of even the funeral itself or the grave site, I think that's just, to me, that's wrong, because like you said, Jackie, everybody's got their, you have your coping mechanism. Me, I just don't do it. I saw a dead body snap. I ain't been too thrilled about dead people since. I'd rather deal with live foods than dead people. When I did go to my mom's funeral, and I made it through that. And we went to the gravesite. I fainted at the gravesite. Lord knows I'm never going to go to another gravesite again because fainting is
I lost it at the gravesite. I was so strong.
I didn't even
and then I lost
even
it.
Walk to the gravesite. I got out of the limo, took 3 steps, fell in my best friend's arm right then and there. And I, next thing I know, I'm in the limo, and I'm going, what happened? So, no, I have to honestly respect the fact that when it comes to funerals, and even weddings, some people can't do weddings. I don't know what it is about that. When it comes to funerals and what those same things that make us act a plum fool, death, birth, and wedding, you have to respect
that. We were just talking about that. I kid you not. We were just talking about how people lose their minds at weddings and funerals, especially funerals. And you know,
weddings,
when I say we,
birth,
you know how
you
we can be.
If you have a large family and there's an issue over name and the parents have not put their foot down in that room, in her room after that baby is born, 50 million people in there, there's going to be a war over a baby. Not one person going to buy a diaper for her. We act a fool at deaths, weddings, and funerals. I don't know why.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
We do. But to me, any of those things that make us act a fool are all excusable things for someone not to show up. You could be my best friend and say, I don't do funerals. You don't even have to tell me. Just not show up. I'm okay with that because I know
exactly.
I love you to pieces. But when somebody, I can send you a card. I can send you the most gorgeous flowers and wreaths or whatever. I can pick a casket out from afar. Do not expect for me to show up.
I did all of that for my father because, you know, and I tell people this all the time. When you love somebody, don't wait until they're gone and you want to give the biggest flowers. When you love somebody, let them know that you love them. My father and I had one of those relationships where it was no regrets. I had no regrets. There was nothing I needed to say. There was nothing I needed to do. I talk to my dad all the time. I love my dad. I know my dad loves me. I'm such a daddy's girl. So when the news came, I think I cried for like 10 seconds, but I had my sons and my nephew, so I had to pull it together. My mom and I went together to go take care of all of the arrangements. And I'm going to tell you, you know, people at funeral homes, I understand they got to make their money. And unfortunately, they get rich off people's grief. Because when you're grieving, you don't make sound business decisions. Well, let me tell you, there was not a tear in my eye. I had a calculator out, and I was like, well, what can you do for me? Well, I can do this, and no, that doesn't make sense. And the man looked at me like I had lost my mind. I said, let me tell you something. I want this, I want that, I want that, I want this. I want this percentage off. This doesn't make sense for you to tell me to do two of the same things when you're telling me this is airtight and watertight, and this is airtight and watertight. Why do I need to buy two? And I'm running it down to him, and he's looking at me like, I hate her. Because it was about making sound business decisions. Because we will take a policy and do this grandiose funeral the same way we do these grandiose weddings. We will go into debt. And I'm like, the person is gone. That's in the same way
you
know feel about
no,
funerals,
Jackie,
about weddings
Jackie,
is how I feel about funerals.
You know
I really
what, Jackie,
do.
I so agree with you. And I told my kids, I said, work with insurance companies, man. You learn a whole lot, especially considering most insurance companies own funeral homes. And I'm like, you telling me that the dress I'm buried my mom in, they cut the back of it. It's like, yeah, because the clothes don't fit because of the embalming fluid.
Yes.
Oh, hell. I didn't know that.
I didn't even know that.
And,
oh, my
yes.
God. The suit, everything is cut. Now, if it's a baby or a kid, they tell you to put that kid in a larger size. They tell you what size to buy. But for adults, they cut the back. That is, you pay all that money for that dress or suit or whatever, they cut the back. So I was like, okay, no. So I turn around and tell my kids, I want to be cremated. By that time, it'll be black Tupperware out. I want to be in a black Tupperware bowl. Y'all can take turns putting me on your mantle. If you spend to put it in the ground, I'm going to come back and haunt
First
you.
First of all, I don't want to be in the ground. So I told my kids, I said, look, I got enough money, I want to be in a crypt. I said, I'm a little snooty, so I don't want to be in the ground. Second of all, don't spend all of this money on some elaborate funeral for flowers I can't take with me, for jewels I can't take with me. I can't take any of that. So my youngest son, which y'all haven't met yet, said he was going to give me a huge, 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 huge house music party. And I said, that's all I want.
I appreciate that.
That's all I want.
Yeah.
He said,
but,
and he's going to make everybody wear pink. Everybody has to wear pink.
If you put that kind of money in the ground, because my mom loved her to pieces. My mom was crazy, though, because she wanted, her favorite color was money green. She wanted silk and satin. She told me what she wanted for her funeral. She just didn't pick anything out. And so her casket was $7,000. That was in 1980.
Believable.
And so
no,
I'm going,
not doing it.
Wait, we put that in the ground, and then I paid like $700 for her dress because it had to be that stupid money green. And them shoes.
Yeah, not doing it.
And you tell me you cut it.
Yep.
Yes.
And this
give
makes
me
have another. This makes me have another segue of a question. Is you know, culturally, we don't do insurance. Remember, our grandmamas, great great grandmamas, the insurance man always came to the house, and they always had insurance. Somewhere between great grandmother and grandmother and us today, we don't do insurance. It's almost as if we don't want to comprehend the fact that we are not going to be here forever.
But you have insurance on your job.
But a lot of people don't. Most people decline.
No,
do you know how many people decline life insurance?
A lot of people don't carry that life insurance policy at their job. And life insurance, let me tell you, you know how they come on the thing and say it's costing more and more and more and more and more and more to bury somebody? No, the hell it's not.
Yes.
You can bury somebody for $3,000. That's a decent funeral. It's not a pile of
bodies. But because we feel like we got to give this great send-off.
We
got to
send this big, huge send-off, dude. Spend less than $3,000 to keep it moving. I got
to
tell you, you can cost $200 to cremate somebody, and now it's $1,500, and that pisses me off because it's the same kennel that you're burning us in. So I have a problem with that. The funeral homes are making their money off the grief, just like you said, Jackie.
Absolutely.
We don't buy insurance, and you know when that stopped? The little penny policies that they used to buy because they wouldn't sell us insurance. The little penny policies was building cash value. Grandma would cancel her policy to make sure that your policy and all the grandkids' policy was paid for. Well, then the damn grandkids get grown, and I know this, and nobody can tell me. I don't know what I'm talking about because I do insurance litigation. The damn kids get grown. And then
they don't keep the policy.
They have a policy. No.
They cash
it out. They have a damn policy that has cash value, and they cash it out.
That's why I said y'all getting term life. But you know what? It's funny because we don't have these conversations with our children the way other cultures have these conversations with their children. You look at a lot of other cultures, and I'm going to say white people especially, they will buy insurance because they'll use it for cash out value. They'll use it for college, and they'll use it eventually for burial. But they will buy a policy on their kid when their kid is two.
Yeah.
And these are the things that they will talk about. They talk about business things a lot differently. You know, and up until last year, I didn't have any insurance on my boys. And I said, you know, and I think it's something because we don't want to think about the very fact that, okay, something could happen to my children. But I have been to too many funerals, young and old alike, where they are scraping nickels and dimes together. They are having fish fries. They're going to the pastor. They're going to the community leader because nobody had enough sense to bet. Or either, like you said, grandma had a policy, but then when maybe she got a little too old and too senile to keep it up, nobody kept the policy up. I just went to a funeral 3 years ago where that was the case, where they weren't paying on the policy she had. Thank God she was part of the seamstress union, and you have a policy up until the day you die. That's how
wonderful.
They were able to bury her. And we had to go through so much paperwork to find it. And I was actually the one who found it, so I told the granddaughter, and, you know, she had to establish the bloodline, send in all the information. And they sent a pending. That's how they were able to bury her. We don't think about these things. We don't
talk about these things. Jackie, since you said that, people need to understand. Listeners, please understand. This is my business. This is what I do. If your family cannot bury you, let me tell you what happens. They will hold a ceremony. They will not put them in the ground until that funeral is paid for.
Okay, I didn't know that.
They will not. You can go to the gravesite. You will watch them lower that grave. If you watch them entomb them in that crypt, you will not see that crypt get locked because it takes hell and high water and God to open up a gravesite. You will not see that happen. They will not be buried until that funeral is paid for. Funerals, the most important things about funerals is opening and closing. Usually you can, if you don't have an insurance policy, you can go do a pre-need with a funeral home. Do a pre-need that allows you to lock into today's prices, and you get to make payments towards that funeral. You get to pick out your own stuff. I think anybody over the age of 40, if you don't have life insurance, even if you do have life insurance, do a pre-need so that you can get that out of the way. But most funeral homes will not have pre-need open and closing.
Yes, I was just about to say that.
Closing cost, it costs them different money to pay for the permits for opening and closing. Most funeral homes will not allow you to pay pre-need open and closing. If you are a good talker, get them to pre-need you an open and closing. That's going to lock you into today's prices, and then it'll be paid for. I strongly urge everybody to get insurance.
See,
and
you
let me
need
tell
to post
you what
that.
I sign up for them. The Gerber,
yeah, post that
Gerber
on our page.
Life insurance policies, those Gerber life insurance policies where you get it for your kids and grandparents can get it, insure those kids. I don't give a damn what the parents say. Insure those kids. It does a lot of things for the kids. Those kids, it's building money for them. They have the insurance policy, and once they turn age 25, their policy can double or be up to five times depending on which policy you get. And that's how we'll have that life insurance policy. You've got a kid that wants to go to college. They didn't get a scholarship. You can pull off of that insurance policy. You can usually do a partial cash surrender on that insurance policy to help pay for that. Gerber life insurance policies are the bomb. I'm telling
okay,
you.
Okay,
you
know, actually, our time is up. Our time is up, but see,
that
you
is
definitely
the best minute in the show.
Yes. Talk show because, but you know, one thing we didn't mention, and I know we don't have a lot of time, but the little girls, the missing girls in Nigeria, because
yes.
we're women, because, you know, those
yes.
kids very well. But they are our daughters. You know, we definitely didn't give birth to them, but they are our daughters. And,
breaking
you know, just
my
our hearts go out. Does anybody have a, you know, last, a quick 30-second comment you want to throw in about? Because I don't want to do the show without mentioning the missing girls in Nigeria.
Just praying so hard for them, you know, praying that they can be found before they're sold off into this horrible life that they're saying that they're going to be sold off into. And these young women were just trying to get a better education. And that just, it's just so hurtful and so sorrowful. And I'm praying that, you know, they can find these young ladies before they're sold off into this horrible world.
Because, you know, that could happen here. You know,
easily.
It's not...
Okay,
it can easily,
that
and it happens here.
Happen
we just don't know
here.
About it.
That's not
it does
on
happen
that
here. We just don't talk
scale.
About it.
It happens
so
everywhere.
It happens here.
So
yes.
for these girls,
just keeping them in our
for
prayers.
For these girls, they need all the prayers they can get. I echo exactly
yes.
what Jackie
yeah.
said. Jackie wonderfully said, wonderfully stated that's a big deal. Seriously, let's
it's
put ourselves
huge.
If they were our daughters. Seriously.
I can't even wrap my head around that. I can't wrap my head around somebody taking my child like that. And like I said, they're off in school trying to get a better education to better themselves. And then somebody just comes in and takes them. It breaks my heart. And I'm going to
can't do it. Well, listen, you guys, we got 3 minutes to show closing time. So we just want to thank all of our callers and listeners. Nico, we want to give you a special thank you for calling and listening in tonight and for all of our listeners, you know, liking us on Facebook and spreading the word. Want to remind you that the Relay for Cancer event is June 14th. Show up and check us out there. Next week's show is on adoption. So definitely we want to hear if you have experience, if you adopted a child, if you know someone that's adopted a child, please give us a call next week. We would love to hear from you. I want to remind you that the Game Strong Sports Talk Show with Trey Davis is Monday nights at 8 p.m. The Man Up Talk Show, is our Fridays at 7 p.m. And, of course, the Every Woman Talk Show is here every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. And thank you for listening. We're being told we got to go. But thank you so much for listening in and giving us love. We love you. You know, keep loving us back and keep tuning in. All right? So let's give a little applause. And
good night, everybody.
Good night. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
I'm going to get all that stuff posted tonight.
Shadow, radio.
Besides, relationships are people that are just waiting for something better to come along.
Spoken like a cynic.
I'm not a cynic. I'm a realist.
You are a realist masquerading as a cynic who is secretly an optimist.
we here? Let's be honest. Why are we here?
There are some clear indications, and then there are some confusing indications. You can be in a relationship with somebody for a really long time, but the connection isn't there anymore, but you're still having sex. And he may just be there just for that, or she may be there just for that, but that connection is what's keeping us together.
My job is to try to find the truth.
The truth.
You're in a
relationship. Everybody say they want the truth. Everybody say they want real, but they want that shit sugar-coated and dipped in honey with strawberries all lined around it.